I was just thinking to myself that it's funny that we're talking about seasonal forecasting, and if I could predict how cold this room would be this morning, I'll probably do a better job dressing. Anyway, this is a simple presentation. I'm just going to go over some of my observations developing the agroclimate system in the Southeast USA. It's just a collection of ideas that we have had, and I only have my name here because if I would add all the names that were involved, people that were involved in this system, obviously it would need a couple of slides just for the authors. Just one quick slide over the SECC. We are a group of eight universities in the Southeast, and we have been working with climate-related research and extension for quite some time, don't know how many years, but quite a few years, right, Keith? And all the land-grant universities are involved, so that gives us the extension component, which I think is really important for this kind of work. So, also this slide is a little bit of advertising, because we have an agroclimate booth downstairs, so if you have a chance, go visit it. And also we have a Southeast Climate Extension project that has been funded by USDA NIFA, and where we develop many of these ideas. So I want to make sure that I point that out. Okay, this is agroclimate, and we talk a lot here about seasonal forecasting, and I can tell you that we are heavily centered on the ANSO signal for the Southeast. We use it quite a bit. We do have several components of the system. We have decision support tools, we have forecasts where we look at the NOAA CPC, the IRI, all other sources of information that are available. We do provide state summaries for the states that are part of the system. We do have lots of management and climate fact sheets, extension, etc. And as you can see, we keep track of the ANSO signal. We always provide the current phase, what is the forecast for the next 3 months. This is based on the IRI, in fact. And we also keep track of some indicators. And this is just an initial idea that we provide at the very front of this system to let farmers know, and we try to educate them about those indicators. What does it mean for your location, for your county, to have this phase coming, for instance? We do track the MEI. You can see here that someone mentioned already that ANSO is not all, of course, and there are many other cycles that are important. Back in 2010, 2011, we learned that the North Atlantic Oscillation is really important for temperature in the Southeast, and we had the La Niña, and we're expecting above average temperature, and we had extremely cold temperatures because we have a very negative NAO phase at that time. So that's very important, especially for freeze protection, cold protection of our crops in the wintertime. Okay, trying to get into the topic here a little bit, but back in 2009, we put together a vision for this agroclimate system. What do we want to do? And at that time already, we thought that seasonal climate forecasting would be the big, that's where I see the big opportunity, but also a lot of work to be done. We know that we're not there yet, but we want to focus on that. So the idea is that also we learned that if we go speak to a group of farmers about the seasonal forecast, the first question they're going to ask you is probably what's going to be the weather next week. So they're very interested in the short-term forecast as well. And you cannot just place yourself in one of those boxes and say, I'm here to talk about seasonal. You have to talk about the whole time frame. You have to bring the information. In fact, I think that this is the way that we engage the farmers, is just to keep track of everything. And I heard even in Africa one time, they said, well, those guys, they provide the season forecast, they come here, they let us know what's going to be the season, and then they come back by the end of the season and say, how does it work for you? They say, well, they disappear during the season when we need them. So you have to engage them in a continuous process. And I think that for our program, the seasonal climate variability is very important, but we also have to look at the short term, the monitoring, and the climate change, of course. Climate change, in fact, we look at it in terms of a lot of in becoming helping the farmers become more resilient to extremes, which I think is a main concern. So, during the extension project, we do have conduct some surveys, and I put this slide on because I thought it was interesting that throughout the we have adaptation exchanges every year. We have one in one of the states where we talk about some of adaptation opportunities for different climate scenarios, for instance, and we have farmers and extension discussing this, and then we also ask questions. And we ask them, for instance, how useful you find a different forecast, the short term, the seasonal outlooks, decadal, long term climate projections. And you can see, obviously, that long term climate projections are not that useful in their minds. But what kind of surprised me is that they put seasonal outlooks as very, very useful. And someone mentioned this morning, I mean, if I could know for sure how the climate would be this season, I would certainly be a much better farmer. I agree. I mean, it's perfect, isn't it? So they want that, but they wanted you to be right as well, and that's the problem. But they find it extremely useful. So this is the forecast, or the outlook, I would say, for the next 3 months in the U.S., put out by the CPC. And it's a typical El Niño-driven. You know, you can see it there. It's just wet in the southern part, a little bit dry in the wet in the northwest, Pacific Northwest. It's going to be a little bit on the cool side in the southern part. Normally, we expect it to be on the cooler side as well in Florida, because we do have more rainfall and then more cloudiness, and that's what drives the cooler temperature. So the challenge is, how do you put this into a decision-making process? I think many people mentioned this already. This is nothing new. I mean, we have this, but what can you do different? What would you change? If you don't change anything, the value is zero. There's no value. So we have to, that's where we are, and that's the challenge that we all have, is how to incorporate this forecast into the decision-making process. And I showed this, some of you may have seen this already, but I have this vision that you have to provide a combination of service and education. Service is that where you engage the farmers, and you have to bring also the education component. And if you look at the time frame from the monitoring to the short-term forecast, et cetera, service will go down because we really can provide much more service with the monitoring, with the weather forecasting, things that we can do better. And of course, what can you provide in terms of service for climate change projections? It's very little, if any, in fact. On the other hand, the education has to go up, right? You have to educate them. And I think that's how I see this program working, is to combine those two ideas into service and education. And of course, you will provide enhanced or more activities in terms of service with the monitoring, the short-term forecast, etc. But what I think is that we need to focus here in the middle. I think that's where we need to put our money, improving the climate models, studying, working with farmers, learning their needs, and really do a better job. I think that's where we have the big opportunity. And we heard this in many sessions during this conference certainly. Okay, decisions. So we already discussed this, but the weather forecast decisions, farmers use it already for many things, and we know that. Should I plant? Can I plant tomorrow or not? Should I spray fungicide today? Is it going to rain? Should I fertilize? You don't want to fertilize, and there's a big rainfall coming right after that. Am I going to be able to harvest next week? So those are typical questions that we hear every time, and they certainly look at this very well. Now the challenge is to look at the strategic decisions that they can make with the seasonal outlook. And acreage allocation is one. That's what I was asking before, what they actually do. You know, when farmers think about what they're going to plant next season, what they look at? Price, first. Second, price. Third, price. Sometimes they look at the rotation. And then, can we bring climate into the perspective? Variety selection. How much time do I have? A couple of minutes. Wow. Okay. variety selection, planting dates. I agree with when I asked Jerry, he said, we got to go over this. When this is going to be good for planting, they will plant. But I think the variety selection, not only the cycle, early or late, but also the ability to be more resistant to certain diseases when you have, is something that they can do. Crop insurance, of course. So I'm going to speed up here because I'm already behind. This is what we expect for the southeast with the El Nino forecast. There are many things that we can do. This is a typical picture. It was taken in the northeast Florida during an El Nino year. It's going to flood. Seepage irrigation, they have to replant. Nitrogen management, they have to keep, this is under subsurface irrigation. They have, it's similar to the problems in the Midwest. They have to keep this within a certain depth. They will keep it higher at the beginning. There's a big rainfall coming. It will go up. It will wash down all your nitrogen together. So this is a big loss. I think the combination of weather forecasting with seasonal forecasting can be really important here. Chill accumulation is always a concern. We have studied that, and we know that during certain, especially La Niña years, you would probably not accumulate enough chill. And this is changing. So now that we have growers replacing citrus with blueberries and other peaches sometimes, we have to look at this very carefully. We do track that. We look at some other aspects as well. Disease pressure, this is a big deal. We do have a system that indicate to farmers when they should apply or not fungicide. And this is based on the short-term weather forecasting and the monitoring. But we know that they can also look at seasonal aspects. And what would that change? Probably just the variety. We had a good discussion about this, and we know that during El Nino years, there's going to be more disease pressure there. So there are some things that we can do. In conclusion, so I'm finishing. I think that we need a combination of service and education. That's first. We need to engage farmers in this process, in this learning network. We need to combine multiple time frames. We cannot just look at seasonal. We have to be there throughout the season as well. And then we can talk about climate change even, maybe. And I kind of go against some of the thoughts that we're discussing this morning, that if you stick with the seasonal outlooks, the seasonal forecast, you may end up winning after 3 years or 6 years. I wonder about that. I wonder if we should provide seasonal forecast every season or just when we have a strong shift in the probability. Maybe this season we should not do anything because we don't have that skill. So I think that the seasonal forecasting idea, maybe the idea is not to stick with it throughout 10 years, 20 years, but only use it when you have a good shift in the probabilities. And then you're more confident about what's coming. So, thanks, Asu. Sorry for the... Sorry, what I like to do, in fact, let me see, we use a lot the ENSO forecast, basically the climatology for the different phases. One of the reasons why I like to do that is because I can go back years and I can show examples of how things behave during that time and what sort of practices could be changed based on that. If I use the climate, I'm not sure which one is better in terms of the accuracy of the forecast, but I like the fact that I can go back with the ENSO signal and show examples of how things could be different, could be done different, yeah, or not. Yeah.
Okay. Do farmers approach price forecast differently to similar kind of forecast? Because they get their money back when they have the harvest, so they speculate on the price, which can change.
Yeah.
So how do they, you said price is so important, do they approach different people, do they take more risks there?
I think that they certainly pay much more attention to prices than to climate at this point. I do believe that. And I'm not sure how they look at price forecasting, but they certainly have an idea what kind of price it's going to be. And they will base their heavily on that, more than on any forecast we can provide them.
But they also don't know when they plan what price they get on the end of the scene, so they
maybe someone can answer that question better than I. I don't know for sure, but I certainly believe that they look at this. Yeah. Maybe we should have a price forecast model.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.